Well, hello everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Cosmic Poet. You know, I've been known to say those words in a different way, cosmetic poet. Sometimes people catch me and they actually laugh, but I got to tell you why I make that honest mistake. And Donald, are we going to keep the volume on one? It's too high, too low, a little bit more? Stranger than it was in the beginning. I liked it better in the beginning. You see, I get to ruffle the producer's feathers just like everybody else out there in host land. Same. There we go. That's good. Good. No, too much. Too much feedback. Okay. That's fine. This is fine. I'm too what, Don? You want me to speak in like this? All right. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm still new at this host thing, too. Well, today I'm going to talk about so many different subjects. I feel so good about life today. I can't express it, but maybe I can try. Think in terms of beauty on every level, knowing that everything is perfect the way it is, and every morning when you wake up being thankful that you get an opportunity to be up and to explore that in that way, and feel that. You have the right to feel that. And then your day turns into that. Your expressions turn into that thought of love. And it affects you throughout the day. Something it does even more than that, though. It becomes a part of your future and your past. You are the soul, the sum composition of everything. Right now, your past and your future, which is your present. It all is one now. And when you see the world through a beautiful perception, and you wake up to that perception, and you share that, it actually clears the future for you in that way. It eliminates the bad feelings in that way. So they no longer become, they're a part of you, but they're not a strong part of you. So in that way it carries, and it has great, great rewards to you just by simply doing it in throughout your eternal life. Not just in the minute you are looking upon and feeling that beauty. Bear that in mind, because it's important for every minute you spend thinking thoughts of love and in the world of and feeling beautiful, you actually change your destiny because it follows you, every moment follows you. I have been fortunate enough to see this BBS radio network just grow so fast it tickles me pink. I feel like a kid in a wonderland sometimes, to see people coming together with such beautiful messages and sharing them through our network, and together we're seeing it grow so fast that every day, imagine waking up and feeling that every day, feeling that what you have to offer is touching somebody. Well, you can do that not with whole globes of people. You could do it with your next door neighbor if you really want to feel that way. You could feel that with your friend. You could feel that with an animal. But just bear that in mind. You can feel it on every level, on any level. One level is all levels. One man says, I changed the world. One man says, I changed my friend. One man says, I changed myself. What's more important? Ooh, stumped you there, didn't I? Well, maybe I didn't. I have the pleasure of, what I was going to get to initially, was putting together some of the music for, well, let's put it this way, all of the music for the BBS radio music stay hours. And those hours are about 15 hours of radio airtime. And we needed music. So I've been hunting high and low, searching out the music, and I came across the music of a man by the name of, boy, I know I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, and I hope I shouldn't say that, because now I will, right? Boy, that was, here I am talking about being positive, and I do that. Well, his name is, it's spelled G-E-O-F-F, Davis. You know this man must be like Irish, Scottish, English, something in that neighborhood. Geoff Davis. And I listen to some of his music. Maybe it's Jeff. I don't know. I got to hear some of his music that's currently running in our random PlayStation. We've got about 68 songs. And we, I believe 58 songs, and we randomly pull them. So sometimes you'll hear more than the song, you know, one song once, and an hour later you hear it again. You go, oh my gosh, didn't I just hear that? Yes, you did. It's a random playlist. For now. But this gentleman's music's been added in, and he just posted a poem. And I was absolutely tickled pink, because I just added him in a couple days ago, and I think his music is marvelous. You can tell he's a spiritual soul. And then he posts his piece of poetry to the website. To Authors Inkwell, should all know. Well, you should all know. Authors Inkwell. Authors, like in, I'm authoring something. A-U-T-H. AuthorsInkwell.com. It's just a part of Blogging Service, which is a part of BBS Radio. Gosh, it's all so big. It's getting confusing. Well, it's BBS Radio, folks. Authors Inkwell. Just go to that link. And you'll hear, and you'll read some great, great stuff. This is, the poem is entitled, The Day My Father Died. Just a second, folks. The day my father died, the staff nurse from the hospital telephoned to let us know. Your father passed away, she said, 10 minutes ago, and I cried. The day my father died, I walked to the post office and back, and every voice and sound and revving car engine seemed to lack any sort of conscious life. And I wondered if this world I'm passing through is the real world of death, driven by a restless energy possessing and controlling us, in contrast to the peace and stillness of my father's face after drawing his last breath. The day my father died, I lay awake upon my bed at some mid-evening hour, and my tiny room was host to an energy of such rare quality and power that I could sense the circulation of my blood and every ounce of flesh from head to toe, something so immense, an inpouring of love and gratitude which fast became a flood. The comforter was there, whatever you perceive the comforter to be, turning my bereavement and my sorrow into an otherworldly ecstasy. The day my father died, I hated you, Professor Dawkins, and then I laughed at that proud intellect, so one-dimensional and unintelligent, in a wider sense, and a blind enough to say that any extraordinary experience, which ordinary language and scientific formulas cannot convey, is illusionary. Professor Dawkins, my father knew. He was no Pythagoras, and nor are you. That was amazing, folks. I only hope that he will post more poetry to the website, because it's remarkable. It says a lot. There's much to be read there. Literally, in such a poem, one sees so much depth that you could unravel a book upon its premises. And this is just one such poem, and I'm really quite amazed. Thank you for sharing. So because this show is going to evolve with me, I get the opportunity to speak to you about of diverse amount of subject matter, all spiritual. So I'm going to take you on a number of journeys, hopefully poetic in the sense that they open those passageways in the mind. And I enjoy it. That's really the bottom line now, isn't it? And I hope that I have listeners out there also enjoying my reflections. Speaking of reflections, I have one who sits in front of me. Looks just like me, in fact. Except he sports a mustache. Probably far more dashing. But we do look alike when he shaves it off. It's kind of nice to have a twin brother, folks. Because we really do work hard. Don't think of that in a bad thing. Think of that in the greatest of sense. We love what we do. But we do it from the minute we get up to the minute we go to bed. And we never take much of a break. And we never take vacations. But my brother works just as hard. Because he loves what he does. Imagine having a partner like that. And one who's spiritual. And one who gives only of himself to the world. And you're of like mind and you're of the same tune. And you have the same understandings and you have the same vision. And you work well together. That you'd rarely find. So I get to wake up with the morning of that knowledge every single day. And I get to thank the universe for that. So thank you. I am going to talk about a man I met briefly when I was about 18, 19 years old. Oh, ooh, older than that. I believe I was 20, 21 or 22. Just out of university. And, well, I met a man in a Denny's restaurant. I love to work at Denny's restaurant. I've got, excuse me, folks. I think I got allergies. This gentleman used to come to Denny's, and we'd talk. And he was a philosopher of sorts. Enjoyed good conversation, and so did I. It was my only reprieve from working in university, and I worked. This is what I'd do. I'd work probably from the moment I got a class at a Denny's restaurant till 2 in the morning, and then I'd go to my little dorm room and I'd go to bed. I'd go to class, I'd go to Denny's, I'd go to bed. The reason I went to Denny's is because I loved the diverse personalities that would come out of this college town. Everybody had an idea to change the world. And it's great when, and I used to study around all this noise. That's why I'm great at focusing. People find that funny because when you try to get my attention, I can be so focused I won't even hear you. And this Denny's did this to me. I became capable of focusing when there was a lot of distractions around me. And then I could just look up and I could be entertained by all this, these diverse sorts of people. And Gary was just such a man, a diverse man. And he wrote a piece of work that I keep with me to this day. And I thought in the back of my brain, this poem was so good. It should be famous. And I know, and I meant it. And I was writing a book at the time. Someday I hope to, I've almost finished 3, folks. I just never publish it. I guess you get scared that nobody will ever read it, or even if you do, you'll get criticized for it, and you really want your acumen at its highest form so you can develop new thoughts and new systems that, you know, you really know are truly yours. And I think I'm at that stage in my life now. But when I was younger, this is kind of a self portrait of my brother and I going through business for a couple years of our life. I mean, a couple months of our life. It was about 100 pages typed. And I was, before each chapter, I'd write a piece of poetry, one of my poetic works. And I shared it with him, and he shared me this, and he dedicated it to me. His name is Gary Courtney. And what a wonderful gentleman. It goes, I am an adventurer. I am an adventurer. Don't speak to me in faint-hearted tones. You are what you want to be, and your quests become what you are known. the top of the highest mountain assault, and the rapids of a river float, require a host of talents required by purposeful widening of scope. A true adventure must possess facets and knowledge that are diverse, and never wane in confidence or curiosity for the unknown. To tend the tiller at the helm, or trim the main on a stormy sea, to operate a radio, or fix a heading on a distant star, to dip a paddle in a raging torrent, or read the rapids that lay ahead, to scan a topo from a mountain summit, and select the proper trail down, to change a carbide for a cavern probe, or, let me repeat that, to charge a carbide for a cavern probe, or rappel into its pitch black depths, to outfit a pack for a solo trip, and survive the elements afoot alone, to load a Hasselblad, Nikon, or Canon, and set the shutter for a dimming light, to hang from the brink for that perfect shot, and stalk a cougar to its hidden lair, to poke through old buildings of a town long abandoned, and think about stories haunted dusty rooms could tell, to work a miner's pan and chip with a pick, to essay prize samples and stake out a claim, to search for ancient tribes through encampments buried by time, and unlock their secrets so carefully stone by stone. And there, of course, there's a break at this point where I get to take some liquid. I am an adventurer, continued. An adventurer must learn to decipher and discern one which is superior among all that is found, to revere knowledge and the doors it opens to a fuller view of the wide world around, to listen quietly and learn to be tender, but speak out commands and shoot with a fury, to value a friend wherever they're found, and judge a person based upon deeds alone, to value sentiments of a time gone by, and treasure mementos of a precious past, to make a mark the best can be struck upon this era we walk briefly through. You will have become, in your adventurous steps, a person complete in a world that you own, a person of prowess to conquer the limits, a person of boldness to explore the unknown, a person of all ages, cultures, and customs, a person of nature, sciences, and art, a person of strength, character, and resolve, a person of calmness in everyone's crisis. Tested in courage, tested in thought, tested in action, all on your own, you will walk to the beat of a higher drum above any of those treading beside you. Gary Courtney, folks. That was, there is so much in that work. Is it really not the life of an adventurer? A man who's been many places and seen many facets of his inner being come out to rise to those occasions, and then feel the scope of those accomplishments within himself, and really, I believe, enjoying life while he's doing it. I think that's just a marvelous piece of work. I always hope someday to meet that man again. Perhaps he has continued his work. That would be a treat. Maybe anybody out there know a Gary Courtney? Let's see, where would he be? He was in Tacoma. That's where I went to university, Pacific Lutheran University. Lutheran University, very good university for education and business, and I wanted to be where I grew up, around my family, and that's why I took schooling in the Seattle-Tacoma area. Probably the first book that I will come out with will be my last book. And that's because I feel I'm now at that age where my reflections, I believe, are more grounded in understanding. A lot of this knowledge, it doesn't come from me through others' works. I don't read this in a book. And yet, surprisingly, I could probably speak to any man in this world on almost any subject and understand them. And maybe, in some ways, take that information further. That happens to a lot of people when they reach spiritual understandings, because knowledge is more a part of you. It's like your language. Would you call language a part of you or not? Well, it comes from your vocal cords, right? So in a way, it's part of your body, that what its output is, and a part of where, from how. Just like your knowledge. Just like knowledge. It is you. You are the sum total of all that you are. All everything. And you can draw upon that sum total of everything at any time. But oftentimes it takes quiet reflection. Quiet, not even reflection, just quiet nothingness. Just be in the moment. Listen to the sound of silence. Let it come to you. You'll find that the information is always not, and nobody, we all own it. There isn't anything new out there, folks. If somebody created the next greatest invention, I can tell you, 50 people on this earth will be thinking those in their dreams. They just won't know how to verbalize it. They won't know how to put language between understanding that their concept that they've just visualized, they actually got it visualized. This is the way the world is. And they just pull down information. Everything's a process of remembering. A spiritual man knows he has just the same amount of value. Doesn't matter what he knows. He could be your Zen top monk, and you have just as much value as he does, and he knows it, and he loves it, and he wishes you knew it. Because knowledge doesn't make you. It's just how fast you want to remember to bring it all back to yourself, so you can play with it too. I'm writing a book called The Bible to Self-Awareness. I really had a lot of reflections. I don't write them all down. I often find, like many people, I reflect when I'm asked the question. I think a lot of channelers do. But in my reflections, I write down some of the things that I think about. And these are some of the things that are going to be in the book that hopefully someday will be a bestseller, because everybody wants the Bible to Self-Awareness. And I think it should be mandatory for anybody under 5. I'm joking, folks. But it would be nice to be able to read those such works to your children, even before they're born, right when they're in the belly. Let's see. This is what everybody wants to know. How to enhance your psychic self. Because let me tell you, folks, you're all psychic. I can almost prove to you that you have different senses that you don't use. I could prove it to you just in a conversation almost. You'd be blown away. And I think it's important that you realize that to understand, you can enhance yourself psychically. Everybody, you think those psychics out there are doing some parlor tricks? Walking on water? Yeah. I can understand. I mean, I could actually conceive of it. I'm not even close to there. But it's just like the rock in front of me. I can see it. I can conceive of it. Intuition is always spontaneous and sudden. And it's always seemingly effortless. It's intuition. Innate knowledge. Call it innate because it's part of you, but intuition is kind of the same thing, isn't it? It just comes to you. This is on a similar vein with channeling, which is heightened when the ego takes a back seat. Gaining enlightenment usually occurs through a similar process, through meditation. meditation where you're listening to the sound of silence. By clearing the mind and just being. All these are spontaneous and sudden modes of acquiring information. Yes, folks. Yes. Let me reread this because this is important for your mind. Wrap your mind around this for a second. What am I saying here? Intuition is spontaneous and sudden and seemingly effortless. It just comes to you. That's on a similar vein with channeling, which is heightened when the ego takes a back seat. Gaining enlightenment usually occurs through a similar process, through meditation, listening to the sound of silence, by clearing the mind, by just being. And this, when you're in that mode, you are spontaneously and suddenly acquiring information. Does that shock you? Can you believe that a person can actually get smarter by quieting the mind? Is that an oxymoron? No. Because what you're doing is you're pulling that little, just imagine your head imagine, you're a whirlwind. And at the top of your whirlwind, like a tornado, zoop, you go and you connect to the infinite. Just imagine that in the top of your head, connecting to the infinite. Well, every time you're in that mode, you open that portal above you. And you just go, let the whole world zoom into your head. Just imagine it. Oh, that's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything more. Some people meditate on what's known as the sound of silence. It's not a sound of silence, folks. Don't let the mysticism scare you. It has a sound. And it sounds like being on a electricity field. Even higher. Hard to describe, but you can tune into it. And that's one way that you can pull the information in faster. Some people do it through dreams. You can do it through a million ways. But in those periods of time, you're lucid. You're not working at it. It's effortless. So intuition comes in those moments too. So when you're really struggling to come up with an answer and your brain's fighting it, and you're going, blah, 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 you've got a million hours of work ahead of you. But you can't come up with the answer. What should you do? What should you do? Think about it. What do the masters tell you? Have patience. Why? Not because they want to piss you off. Because if you were patient, the answer would come to you. Be silent. Take it in. Meditate. Open the mind. Clear the mechanism. And you're going to get the answer. That's the irony of it all. All this, you know, when I was a boy, and I feel like a boy right now, and it's hard to believe I'm approaching 40. Feel like a boy, look like a boy. So I shouldn't say that, but when I was a boy, I remember different episodes in my life being brought up by my mom. And little episodes that stick with me. One of the episodes, I can remember, we were at a ranch. My brother and I, we grew up on a ranch. We were probably, I'd say 6 years old. About 6 years old. And we had a friend. His name was Gordon. And the only friend we had, so we three, we'd run out, we'd build forts, and we'd climb trees, and we'd knock each other over the head, and fight each other, and whatever. But I can remember one time cussing, saying a dirty word. Because we cussed for some reason, I don't know why. I think we got wrapped up in it. One day we did it around our mother, of course, 6 years old, what do you know? What do you think my mother did? What would you do? What would your mother do? 6 years old, and you just started cussing. Just said a cuss word. What would you do? What would your mother have done? What would you do? You ever ask yourself?
What would I do if I posed that? Somebody asked me that question as a kid. What would I do?
Well, my mother took a bar of soap, marched us into the bathroom by our ears, head bowed low, yanking us along, grabbed the soap, and started rubbing it back and forth in our teeth until our lips bled. We never swore much after that. And if we did, it definitely wasn't in her presence. Is that moral? Should one go so far? Ask yourself. How far is too far? What are the limits? My question is, why are you asking? Are you defined by other people's limits? In many ways, everything you do is perfect. And if you have a question about what to do, I'm going to give you the perfect answer. I'm going to give it to you. I'm just going to give it to you. This will be the perfect. This is the answer. You know, here's in the dictionary of answers, you're going to look at it, and you're willing to look up the answers. This is the answer. What would love do? Oh, it's that simple. What would love do? That'll answer every single time. What question do you have? Well, should my mother have done that? What would love done? Well, love's hard sometimes. We're in the world of physicality, aren't we? We're learning challenges based on the idea that we can be hurt, the idea that there's death, the idea that there's polarities, right? Love can be hard sometimes. I think the Creator doesn't in any way harm you. It only lifts you up. And I don't think in any way, Mother, that didn't harm. What that did was that woke us up. I think the one time when, the funny part is that when one of us bled, I think it was me that my mother, I think my mother brushed me just a little bit hard and it bled. My brother, he just grabbed the soap and started eating it. And figured, hey, this isn't bad, but he did that afterwards, just because we didn't never, to give you an example how bad we were. Donald and I would eat soap thereafter to figure out a way to become immune to it, so when my mother washed her mouth out so it wouldn't hurt so bad. We were crazy. We fought quite a bit when we were boys. But that was just energy of youth. And we got to know each other very, very well. I would like to entertain another piece of poetry. And because there's only a couple poems I can share with you that were posted to Authors Inkwell, I'm going to have to share one of my own poems. And I'm just going to bring out what I think is the best poem I've written in the past 3 months. And it goes, I am one reason. I am the songs of infinite muses, of unfathomable richness, riches, and reaches in depth. Activate the sounds lingering, whispering within, one sweet union I beget. I am the melodies, the harmonies and ecstasy, a panoramic symphony of tone. Accelerated, amplify it in now time, sublime, author poet to design. I am the composition, the sound part of will, the force of expression all around. Don't you hear me calling your name? I make the sound you cannot forget. Always like that piece of poetry. And I'm going to share with you the other piece of poetic work that was submitted to the website, if I can find it here. And the reason why I waited till the last to bring this one forth was because it was written by my mother. And, folks, I always save the best for last. And my mother just thrills me every time she posts stuff. Hildy. And it goes, there comes a time when your journey on this planet has an end. And none of us knows when that will be. But the trust in my Creator and having faith in Him makes me believe. He has a wonderful place waiting for me. My journey on this planet is full of happiness, sometimes sadness, and mostly embraced with lots of love and sunshine. But when things look bleak and worries try to crowd my mind, I know every negative has a positive, and it all will come out fine. All of us will make sometimes a wrong decision, a moment in our being. As long as we can forgive ourselves and change, no matter the consequences, to make the decision right in our living. Be thankful and feel blessed for learning a lesson, hopefully well, and go on. And as we go on learning from our mistakes, the decisions will be more and more right and not wrong. This is my philosophy in heart and spirit, and I live by it that way. And I thank my Creator, bad or good times, there is always something to be thankful for in every day. Mom, I love you. You're the greatest. How many times have I told you you're a queen without a throne? You know, we were very fortunate young men. We had the greatest of family. Our sisters, our brothers, our mother and father. When anything went wrong, and there were a lot of hard times, so much so that I don't reflect on them. If you can imagine a periods of time where they're so bad, you don't reflect on them because you don't want to pull yourself into that world. You just let it go. But during those times, having that sort of support is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And that's why mothers and fathers are so important. Your children need you. If your children could come, you know, we get upset when our children comes to us with something that they've done, and it might be wrong. But sometimes we have to not only forgive them, but find in a way to express our gratitude for them even coming to us, that we don't make it a hardship for them to even want to come to us in the first place. So in that way, it's almost like you do the opposite of punish in order to affect that change. Is that possible? Can you see a method to my madness? Is there a way? Yes, folks. Spiritual. You know, the way is spiritual. You know, you could spend 15 minutes of time with your children every day and lay them down and meditate with them. And in 30 days, you would see such changes. You'd cry. You both would. This is the age of that. Meet your higher self. Meet that wonderful part of you that's all of you. It's ready to embrace you. Always there, ready to embrace you. I wrote a note on some reflection. Oh, here we go. Is it possible for two people to see two different objects when the same object is shown them? Is that possible? I know you think this is simple. Or hear two different sounds when the same sound is emitted? Is it possible? Then, in essence, you're saying two things are possible at once. Correct? It's possible for two people to see two different objects, but looking at the same object. Or hear two different sounds, and the same sound is emitted. One sound. Then, there's more than one reality. It would then follow two realities can coexist. Two realities can coexist, must follow. And further, that the number of realities that can coexist are infinite. If you took it to two, we can take it exponentially, can't we? Invariably, information and experience, given our semantic differences and selective perception, will always yield a slightly different point of view. The point being, we can never label something right or wrong. We can only seek to understand. If that premise is true, and you have a child who's being naughty, and he comes to you, what do you do now? Does that help? I'm not Dr. Laura, but I gotta tell you, these answers are pretty simple. When you have a clearing of the mind, and you connect to everything that is, all it is a loving source. Its answers are immediately profound, because they are the good, right answers. And you just are the answers. Every part of you understands that. Spiritualism wakes you up at the core. A core. Your core. It reaches beyond your genetics. All the way beyond your DNA. It's the construct that creates those alphabetical protons. It goes right down there to beyond the cellular level and affects you. So that should help. If you do have a child, learn to understand before dishing. But in many ways, seeking to understand almost will always give you an answer if you seek. And once you have an answer, once you have the answer, you apply, you question about whether what to apply. Well, what would love do? What would love do? Okay. That helps. Look around you for a couple of seconds. What do you see? Don't think. Thinking doesn't let you see any better. It doesn't help you see any better. Just be in the moment. Experience it. Close your eyes. Be in the moment. Now imagine being an octopus of pure love. You look like an octopus, but you're just an energy of love that's shaped like an octopus. Feel that for a minute. Now imagine extending your tentacles of love out and around you. So everything around you is wrapped by your embrace. Imagine basking. Imagine everything basking in your touch, glowing, warming, and excited by your touch. Now open your eyes. How do you feel? Better? Why? Because that's the power of love. All you have to do is feel it. You don't have to run out there and seek a new sight or a new sound. It's within you. loves within you. Folks, I would love to tell you about a million things that are happening with BBS Radio. Soon, we're going to be in the promotional end of it. We're going to be bringing a lot of new music, a lot of eyeballs to the website. You're going to see it being fairly automated, sleeked up a bit. I'm really excited. I think we have our lineup of superstars, superstars. And I think these superstars are going to grow with this BBS Radio. And look out, folks, because you're going to be tuning us in. I have one recommendation for anybody that is willing to take me up on one recommendation. Just one. Go to the front page of BBS Radio. You'll see a player. It'll go, BBS Radio Live 24/7. The BBS player, baby. The BBS player. You want one. And guess what? They're free. They're free. And you know how easy they are to get? A couple clicks. Believe me, folks. Click, click. Stick it into your website. And folks, you got a radio station on your home page. For free. 24/7. You don't even need to come to our website. So, anyways, I thought that was snazzy. I love you, folks. Come back. Hear me ramble next week on the Cosmic Poet Show. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.